Some of us may know my heart is slightly heavy this morning. I lost a cousin under very, very painful circumstances. So, but it also trains the heart. So there's a little bit of urgency, always a little bit of urgency where that happens. I saw her as she came to give birth to a baby here in the US. Sorry, I share this because it's just my, it's the context in which from which I preached this morning 7 years ago. So she has two kids. And I met with her husband, very brilliant couple, full of promises. And she got hit by a car in Abuja. Next, as her car was being fixed by the side of the road. And they amazingly, when I had my first reaction was, what was she doing on the road? You know, we have our lives so planned out. Some people you never think they'll be on the road. And what? Well, her car was wobbly. She calls her husband. Husband says, they just fixed it. Okay, just park and move away from the car. I'll call the mechanic. The mechanic comes, was fixing it. Maybe another driver not paying attention, swaps, hit her, kills the mechanic and kills my cousin. That's how heavy my heart is. But I do not say it to make her heart sorrowful, and I was debating it. But I've woken up at 3, 4 a.m. 2 days in a row. Just wondering at life. Just wondering at life. Just like that. And of course, we bless the Lord because this is where hope kicks in. It's, Bimbo had no business being in that spot at that moment, but she had to be there. But the thing to my brothers and sisters is that life is just not predictable. You know, we have the luxury of having things normal. Most. By the grace of God, we're put to have very normal week and days. It's just not guaranteed. And I think that's why Jesus came. You know, you never know when or how or who next. So, I blessed the Lord. I think I remember the preacher was the one that said it's better to go to the house of mourning because it just has a way of training your heart to know that these things are real, you know? And I pray that when our day come, worship and seeking the face of the Lord will not be in vain, that death will meet us, Christ will meet us in peace. Okay, so because I've totally destroyed your mood, let me encourage you with another story that I had that was cheerful this week. I mean, just as an encouragement, because obviously we're all in different. Let us pray. Father, I thank you and I worship you again. The church thanks you. Your children worship you. Thank you for this privilege, Lord, holding this mic again and just trying to teach the things you've laid on our hearts. Not like the elder wrote. It's not as though anything we're going to share this morning is not known by your people because your unction teaches them. But just to remind one another and prepare one another, Satan is busy trying to distract us. Father, I pray that our fellowship this morning, we refocus us and you will receive glory from it. Life comes from your word. We're just willing to eat the bread of life, Lord Jesus, as we've been told this morning, which is really the sermon, to be transformed in your image, to be like you. I pray that whatever is within us that is not allowing us to progress in being transformed in the image of Jesus will be taken away, that all of us will face this judgment seat without doubt, Lord. Give us the grace to commit our hearts fully to you, to differentiate ourselves in this race, O Lord, and to make full use of your grace. In Jesus' name we pray. Teach us today, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So it's a time of, we're just going to continue to learn about the Lord from our Lord Jesus Christ. Last week, as we heard, we learned from the Lord. He teaches us everything we know. Jesus just teaches. He himself is the embodiment of every doctrine. And I thank God that God did not leave our faith to fiery writers like Paul alone, right? That he's just his brilliance will confuse you. The Lord Jesus just simply lived every doctrine, and we can learn from his example. And that's what we've been trying to do as we wait for his coming. Last week, we learned from him as he taught us what attitude we need to have. Because if we don't watch Jesus, some of us, we feel accomplished. We feel, I've been a Christian for so many years. Lord, I've carried a speaker for crusades. Lord, I've done this, I've done that, I've mentored many people. And before we know it, we're really congratulating ourselves before the race is done, right? And we've seen too many people who have done a lot. Like Paul prayed for himself that I haven't done this, I myself may not be cast away. And just at the finish line, it happens. I think it's one of the saddest stories. People you know who used to run very hard, close to the finish line, they are deceived by this master deceiver called Satan. I pray that our Lord Jesus Christ will help us and deliver us from the master deceiver. And the only way for this to happen is to keep our focus, to learn from me. He said, my yoke is easy, learn from me. My burden is light. He said, learn from me. And I find it beautiful. I've been convicted several times. Even when I have verses here and there to back me up, when I look at the conduct of Jesus, it just doesn't square with the verse that seemed to apply. So the conduct of our Lord Jesus Christ has always convicted us. That's why as a church, Sunday after Sunday, we learn a little bit from Jesus. But I do want to tell this story before we go into that. So I had it this week. It was encouraging. For all of you here that you've been praying for things, or you've been seeing others prosper, quote unquote, or you see things working out for so many people, and it's not working out for you. And honestly, this is actually the closer to God you are, the more of these disappointments you will experience. That's the paradox. I don't know whether you've observed it. The psalmist observed it, actually. He said, look at we that we work for you. We do this. Look at all these people that don't even care. They have streets named after them. They have buildings. Their children are doing well. But for believers, just wahala upon wahala upon wahala. I think everybody knows what wahala is. The road always seems to be so tough. And that's a reality that we have to face. And we encourage one another. For those of you who have been waiting on the Lord and you are at the verge of saying that, well, the Lord does not care. I had something this way. It really wasn't from a Christian, but it so applies. He said, has anybody heard the story of the pregnant dog and the pregnant elephant? Anybody? You've heard it. Pregnant dog and elephant. Can you tell it? Exactly. It was so encouraging. I'm going to tell the story. How long is an elephant pregnant for, those science? Approximately 2 years, thereabout. Yeah. How about a dog? Not up to 6 months. Yeah, 60 to 70 days, thereabout. And how many puppies can a dog have? It can really pop them out, right? Pop them out. Right. So this elephant and this dog were friends, both pregnant. Probably same mother-in-law. And you know, they got up and this puppy just popped out in about 70 days, 2 months, popped up about 4 puppies. The elephant was still pregnant. In another 9 months, this dog got pregnant again and another 7 puppies, and the whole compound was filled with happy puppies. Elephant was still pregnant. The dog rested for another 3 months, got pregnant again, and popped out another 5. And then after the 5th, and the whole compound was filled with the sound of joy of puppies and life, and elephant was still pregnant. The dog went to the elephant and said, see how productive I am. Listen, You've been pregnant for how long now? More than a year. We haven't seen any result. When are you going to conceive? And when you conceive, how many babies will you have? As she was talking, she got pregnant again and boom, popped out another set. Then one day the elephant called the dog and said to the dog, "See, when you get pregnant, you give back to pups. When I get pregnant and I give back to an elephant. When your children walk around, they squeal. When my child stands up and walk around, everybody stands and watches. My pregnancy is long because my reward is huge." And the speaker said, "Listen, when you think that your blessing is delayed, just hang on. God is not unjust. He will do it. The period of incubation for fantastic things is always longer than the common blessings. Just hang on." We're always reminded that Christ had a ministry for 3 years. That ministry was incubated for how long? There's never been a ministry as impactful as that which lasted 3 years. But we all forget that it took 30 years. We wonder, what was the Lord doing? That was his entire purpose. Someone called me this week, a niece of mine, and said, "Uncle, please pray high. I don't think I'm living a purposeful life." I said, tell me, what do you mean? What do you mean you're not living a purposeful life? Then she gave me examples of friends. My friend has written 2 books. Is the something of this, has done this. I've just finished my master's. I really don't. Said, I'm thinking of giving up 1 year and just serving in the church so I can discover my purpose. They gave series. I said to her, "You're not your friend. Your purpose is different. You cannot copy your friend. God has a purpose for you." Some of the best men, it's a replete story of Moses. I don't think Moses started his purpose till he was 80 years old. God is never late. Let's just relax, enjoy every day, and bless his name and worship him. So essentially, that lesson is, please do not be discouraged. Hold on to your confidence in Christ. Don't compare yourself to others. God loves you. He created each one of us for a purpose. And he's going to accomplish. He's not looking for you to find and accomplish that purpose. Moses was not looking for God when he found God by the burning bush. At God's time, he made himself. Joshua was not looking for God when he found. Was David looking to be king of Israel? No. The Lord will find you. Which of the apostles were looking for Jesus? None. Jesus found them. Everywhere I turn in the Bible, the initiative, the performance, the perfection, everything is from the Lord. He doesn't depend on us for anything. But it would be nice if we don't mess it up by being disobedient. Right? Praise the Lord. I even have news for you. Even if you try to mess it up, if your heart is right, God won't let you. Moses tried his best to mess it up. "Oh, not me. Oh, I cannot do it. Oh, I can't even talk. Oh, I'm a liver." I said, okay. For every excuse, the Lord had an answer. Okay, I'm going to give you your brother as a mouthpiece. Okay, I'm going to. The Lord did not say, shut up. Was it Joshua or Gideon? That other one to try to mess it. Please, one more thing. Can you, so that I will know you, can you please let the dew be on? The Lord was patient. Just rejoice in being in him and wait for him. Anything it is, wait. And the Lord will strengthen your heart. Okay. Today we're going to learn about Jesus from the book of Luke chapter 4. And we're going to learn again from one story of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this simple lesson, I pray that it will please the Lord to help us to apply it. Anything that happens to us, I think one of the reasons that we could be ineffective Christians or weak in our journey of faith may be that we're not paying attention. I think I said it last week, to the little lessons. We are at times so preoccupied with what is faith, what is hope, what is love, with definitions, that the really practical examples which we used to pay attention to in Sunday school, as we grew, I think we grew more complex and we're ignoring them. Practical teachings of our Lord Jesus Christ. When we were younger, they'll tell you, do not lie. And maybe your entire meditation that week is, oh, it's not good to lie. Oh. So when you lied, I don't know whether you did it. I don't know whether I did it either. You go, oh, this man, I looked very foolish. But it's practical. You are reminding yourself, God, they just taught me in Sunday school not to lie. And I lied. God, forgive me for lying. In the same token, the Lord Jesus has a lot. He did not just mean to give us a broad lesson or doctrine and say, go figure it out. The Bible says there are things which Christ both began to teach and also began to do. And we are to learn from those. The way he acted. The difference between a Christian who's rooted in Jesus and a churchgoer is that both of them have the same basic doctrine and teaching. Church attendee and one who works with Jesus. But one actually puts it into practice while the other does not. One pays attention to the practical component while the other does not. I pray that as we continue to study God's word, we begin to look at Jesus as a teacher and as a mentor, and we'll learn from him. So here's another story in the Bible. We'll start reading from verse 16 of Luke chapter 4. So it was the Lord's ministry. And this time he came to Nazareth. And the Bible tells us that he had been brought up in Nazareth. Luke 16. Anika, Luke 16. Okay. Deshala. So he came to Nazareth where he had been brought up. And the way I like to do, you know me, I like to apply it practically. That means he came to Silver Spring or returned to, what's that? Mitchellville after, yes, where he had been. You guys know Mitchellville like the back of your hand. You know, in these days, you don't even know your neighborhoods. In those days, we knew who sold what. We worked, we knew our neighbors, we played in our neighbor's home. In fact, in those days, when you went to the same school with people on your street, you called yourself cousins, right? When your parents came, the parents, we rotate who we go and pick this, you know? So we knew. Not like that anymore, unfortunately. But Christ went to the place where he brought up, where he knew the shoemaker. Everybody knew, they knew when he was just a child, a four-year-old child, a five-year-old child. He had aunties in Nazareth. He had men that he saw on the streets, men that sent him, gave him money and sent him to go and buy something when he was younger. So he came to that kind of town. It was in Nazareth. And there, now he was coming back as a teacher. And there he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and he stood up to read. And he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where this was written. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. He closed the book, gave it to the attendant, sat down, and the eyes of all who were in the synagogue were fixed on him. And he began to say to them, today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. This is not where we're going, but I'd like to ask us a question. Lately, have you paid attention to all of these prophetic sayings about Jesus Christ? Christ just said that his role in our life, his job, is to make sure that hope, the gospel of hope, is preached to the poor. If anybody in this hall is brokenhearted and thinks that Christ is not interested, he said the anointing of God is to heal the brokenhearted. You can call to Jesus. If anyone is held captive by anything, Jesus sets the captives free. It's the truth. Recovery of sight to the blind. Christ gives illumination and sight. If there is any area of darkness in your life, the answer is Jesus Christ. There's no challenge today that Christ is not interested in as it relates to us. Is there anybody that is feeling oppressed? There's a way in the Lord Jesus Christ. Then he also does this. He proclaims the acceptable year of the Lord. He comes preaching the kingdom, telling us about what God wants in our age and in our time. So I didn't want us to read through that, because the same Jesus that was yesterday is the same today and forevermore. But where we're going this morning is really the verse 22, because that really struck me. It said, so all bore witness to him, right? And marveled at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. And then they said, is this not the Joseph's son? Is this not Joseph's son? And Deshola, don't come and ask me for a title. That's going to be the title. Is this not Joseph's son? And Luke dutifully recorded that this happened. The Messiah came to his own, and his own rejected him. They looked at him and they said, what can possibly come out of the boy that we saw grow up? The boy that we sent on errand? The boy whose father was a carpenter? If I'm going to listen to someone, we're going to listen to the chief Pharisee, the PhDs, the experienced people. But as for this boy, is this not Joseph's son? He's nothing but a carpenter's son. Is this not Joseph's son? That statement jumped out at me. Now, after the fact, we say, Lord Jesus. Anywhere we see the things of Jesus, we adore it. But in reality, if Christ had grown up in our church, if we had been used to him speaking, would we still honor him and his words the way we would have honored someone that has written 10 books? But you see, the Lord has no respect for all of those things that men have respect for. Our Lord Jesus could have come as the most brilliant teacher, which he was, they just didn't know, in Israel. He could have come as the chief high priest who was converted to Christianity or decided, having attained the highest role in religion, to begin to teach the kingdom. But the Father's strategy was to make him come as a nobody. And my message this morning is, don't always look for God in only the obvious places. If not, the grace and the might of God will pass you by. Do not ignore the ordinary things. Most of the great things of God comes from ordinary people and ordinary things. Do not reject a teaching because the teacher is illiterate or young or a woman, as was in our age and the age before us. Because as you study the Bible, you see that God, our Father, has this habit of sending his best through doors that you are not expecting. And many people missed it. They missed the Lord Jesus. I remember another passage said the Lord could not perform many miracles because of their what? Unbelief. They could not believe. And what's her name? El Shaddai, El Shaddai. There's a line in that song. Hello, Yona, the word Messiah had to be. Though the world contains the truth, they just could not understand. Your most awesome work was done through the frailty of your son. That's a brilliant Twilight. What's her name? Amy Grant. I heard that song. I wasn't a believer, but I that line, that they just could not understand. Your most awesome work was done through the frailty of your son. El Shaddai, El Shaddai, El Elyon Adonai. Oh, you're still the same by the power of your name. El Shaddai, El Shaddai, El Kakana Adonai. I will praise and lift you high, El Shaddai. Please don't look at the obvious places. Read your Bible, pray every day, pray every day, pray every day. Read your Bible, pray every day. If you don't know any grant, you will know that one. If you want to grow, if you... The important things of Christianity are still in the simple things, brethren. We've tried to make it more and more complex, but it's still in kindness, in love, in obedience. But these people looked at the law because they were so familiar, and that's what happens in church. We become so familiar with these teachings that they no longer make sense to us. And very soon we begin to resent them, and we're looking for complex things. When we were younger Christians, it was just sufficient to have a quiet time and pray to the Lord and share our meals simply. But now they've taught us that the experience of God is some spirit falling upon us, and unless we feel some shivers in our body, the presence of the Lord is not there. No, but it's still in the simple things. So these people saw the Lord Jesus and they said, "Is this not Joseph's son?" I pray that we will never reject the word of God because of the vessel, or reject the blessings of God because of the vessel that it comes in. So many people are deceived by vessel and they've shipwrecked their faith. So many people are deceived by the color, by the names, by the author, by the hugeness of the ministry. They are deceived by the eloquence. When the Lord decided to select teachers, he chose fishermen, plain spoken men. I don't know if you've experienced it, but there are people you begin to preach to, and they just finish the verse for you. They are so familiar. Paul taught the church something in, I believe it's 2 Corinthians. He was talking about him and super apostles. And what the apostle was teaching the church, he really loved the Corinthian church with his whole soul. You know the man Paul, when he did nothing by half measures, if you read him, he was a passionate man, passionate to a fault. No half measures. So he had a trail of meditation in 2 Corinthians that struck me. He said, "Listen, guys, I come to you really humble." He said, "I give everything. I give my soul. Do you think because I give all my soul, I'm any less than those super apostles?" And what was happening was this, that probably Jerusalem would send people with title and presence, big shots, and they would come to some of the churches, especially this Corinthian church, that had been evangelized by the Apostle Paul. And because this is a very important man, they started paying attention to some of the things that these people were teaching. But what happened was that these people were also teaching some wrong things. And then when Paul wrote them, because they were familiar with Paul, when Paul came, he did not stay in their five-star hotel. He stayed with them. He hung with them. He spoke and spoke. He hung at their house. He spoke to them. He asked after their children. He did all the... So they began to have some contempt for the apostle. I had to tell them, have I done good by loving you? Hasn't the fruit of my work shown that from the Lord? So the chances are that we become very familiar and we ignore the word of God because of the vessel. This happened to the Lord Jesus as we close today. Please don't pay attention to the vessel. Remember, I'm going to go to that verse as we leave this particular passage and read our other passage. He said, they bore witness to him. They marveled at the gracious words from his that proceeded out of his mouth. But they said, is this not Joseph's son? Is this not? Was it Paul? I think it was the Lord that said, I've spoken to the truth, you will not believe. Another will come and tell you a lie. That's the person you will believe. Because they have title. Because you don't know him. You don't know them. You don't know how they act with their wives. You don't know how they raise their children. But they have a ministry online. And they've written 10,000 books. But you would not pay attention to Jesus, whom you are familiar with. May that not happen to us in Jesus' name. My lesson to the church, message, the Lord's message this morning is, please do not despise the word of God. The Lord is not impressed by what impresses man, but his truth always stands. Let's open to Isaiah 53 as we close this morning. We'll read one thing about the Lord Jesus, and then, because we have to keep reminding ourselves about our Savior, because there are so many people who want to replace Jesus in our lives. I personally think that the lack of honor and glory that is prevalent for our Lord today is because men have taken the eyes of people away from Jesus and placed it on themselves. And I don't think the Lord wants that to happen. Who is the Lord of the church? Who are we compelled to obey? Who should we use as an example? The ultimate rabbi is Jesus. Anything that does not come from Jesus is not valid in the kingdom of God. There's no man, no name in heaven or earth that has a place in heaven. There's only one, Jesus. No name. Heaven does not recognize any man. I have not seen any scripture whatsoever that says that heaven, except maybe 12 other people whose names are on the foundation, and they are all dead. The apostles says their names are on the foundations. But the name is Jesus. Even the apostles will tell you they are nothing. That is Christ that walks in them. Isaiah 53 says, who has believed our report, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? Then it began. This was a prophecy about our Savior, Jesus Christ. And as we read it, I want you to begin to think about the kind of man that Jesus was. He said, he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of dry ground. He has no form and no comeliness. You know what that means? Olashade. It means if Jesus... the way he was, forget all of those pictures that you've seen. They are false. Every time I saw a picture of Jesus, it was a handsome, blue-eyed, not even Arab. I will reckon that they will even bother to draw an Easterner. No, it's Caucasian, blue-eyed. They did a fantastic job in Europe during the Renaissance, making sure that the artistic representation of our Savior was a blonde man in their own image. I don't blame them. If I were to draw the Lord, I would draw him in my own image as well. But we swallow that hook, line, and sinker, and all of us really think we are praying to a white man. You know, a really handsome white man. But no. So what's that? What's that show that is going on? That's The Chosen. Jesus don't look like that man. Mm-mm. Too handsome. That actor. Mm-mm. Because it says here that there's no beauty that we should desire him. He has no form or comeliness. If Christ were to walk here, what you draw him to you will not be his broad shoulders or his fine features, aquiline. No. You go. If Christ was to walk in here, you look at him and take your eyes. You know. Unless this scripture is wrong. The Lord will give you every excuse to reject his son if you are going to judge in the flesh and by sight. And this was by design. He could have put on any form. The Bible described the form of the angels. He said they are beautiful forms. Christ was higher than the angels. He could have picked any form. Well, the Bible says that here, he has no something. He has no form or comeliness. So that you and I will not chase form and comeliness. When you see a beautiful, physically beautiful thing representing Jesus, it might be him. But that's to show you, okay, let me be sure. Let me be sure that it's not just the beauty. Let me be sure that there's something to this other than the exterior. When we see him, there's no beauty that we should desire him. We all went, we thought, we retell the story of Jesus like he was so popular. His ministry was so prosperous. That's not verse 3 says. It's how he was despised. He was rejected by men. If Christ had a TV show, the viewership would have been low. He did not have a church to preach every Sunday because they would not allow him. They would not give him a grant to build a church. He was a threat to the culture that he came into. He was truly hated. He was despised and rejected by men. He was a man of what? People say joy. The vigor, the something of Christianity, you must always. So you, even though you are sad inside, you are trying to smile because they've told you smiling is the real mark. If you are not happy, you are not a Christian. If you have problems, you are not a Christian. Isn't that the junk we are being told? But that's not what Isaiah told us. Isaiah tells us that he was a man. How can you call Jesus a man of sorrow? The Bible says he was acquainted with grief. So let's be aware that we don't make Christians who are going through grief feel that something unusual is happening to them. The Savior that you so love, I'm sorry to disappoint you. He was not handsome. Oh. He was not someone that will crack a joke and we go, oh no, he has such a great sense of humor. Some preachers say he has such a fantastic sense of humor and all of that. He was a man that the regular folk will not like. A man of sorrow, acquainted with grief. And what did they do in his time? Someone should please read the rest of that verse. What? We? People thought the Lord was so popular and esteemed. No, he was despised. This morning, if there's anybody here who has been walking the Christian way and it's been particularly very hard and very difficult and very discouraging, the message this morning is you're going the right way. Our joy will come. This is the path that our Savior walked. Please don't be persuaded to change your ways because it's not the typical path. Please don't. One day we will reap the reward. This difficult, despised, unpopular. In fact, the Lord Jesus said, if you are popular, you have something to worry about. because only the false prophets were popular. Unfortunately, the retelling of Bible stories always keeps these very real realities in the life of both the apostles and the Lord Jesus Christ. We retell it as though their life was easy, as though they had a ministry, popular ministry. No, but our Lord Jesus was lightly esteemed. So don't seek to be esteemed. Don't think that the esteem of man is a validation of your ministry. Actually, if the wicked hates you, that's a validation of your ministry. Is this not Joseph's son? They despised the Lord. He said, I'm your teacher. If they call me Beelzebub and they despise me, they lightly esteemed me. What do you think they will do to you? A master, a servant is not greater than the master. I pray that the Lord will make our hearts strong. At least as a starting point, I pray that you give us a heart that desires to follow him as he is. That will prove our ministries. We'll be able to bear the cross. Many, many, many people today have gone the easy way because it's just so hard. It's not easy to live the life of Jesus when your fellow teachers hate you. Even your disciples can doubt you at times. Every soldier in town wants your neck. The spiritual leaders of your church despise you. You're ugly. There's no comeliness about you. Let us pray. Give us the courage, Lord, to follow you. Father, this is where the teaching, O Lord, finishes for today, but is where it starts for the Spirit. O Lord, you make actionable the word that enters into our ears. Please, my Lord, make these things possible. Give us the desire to love you and to serve you. I think the theme has been just helping us to love you. We know that here we have no continuous city. Definitely this place is not our home. I pray, Lord, that we'll be more than average in the pursuit of your name. Though the world may condemn us, I pray we'll never be discouraged. Though, Lord, they may despise us, pray that your Spirit will comfort us. Father, I pray, Lord, I will be approved of you. Thank you, lovely Jesus. Thank you for being such a reliable mentor. Thank you for being the one that holds us up. Thank you for your word that never changes. Bless us as we go, Lord. I pray none of us, we have any mishap in our lives. You have preserved us. We give you thanks. Please preserve us. I pray nobody will fall sick. But I pray, Lord, that even our health will be used to glorify you. Help each one of us to learn something that will move us nearer to your purpose this week, O Lord. Give us courage by the Holy Ghost. There are so many things around, so many distracting things, the things we hear, the things we see, the situations about us. But glorious Father, we thank you because we can call upon you as a present help in the time of need. Father, Holy Spirit, we bless you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord.